Hello, this is George. Is anyone there?
Hi, George. Camille is here.
Hi, Camille. Long time no talk to you.
Yes, I know. I've called in late a couple of times and been out of town once, actually.
That's you from the 917 area code?
It is. I'm in Florida this week.
Oh. Is 917 a Florida area code?
No, it's my cell phone.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to have you. Tracy, are you there? You just went on mute, Tracy, I guess. I mean, that might not be Tracy. 472 area code? 716 area code. Who's that? Hello?
Hi, this is Ray here.
Ray,
Hi, George. It is me. It is Tracy.
Tracy. Oh, great.
Hi.
That's great. Nice to hear from you. Okay, Ray, I'm putting your down. Let's just all stay off mute right now. I know I asked everybody on to go on mute, but today I'd like for us to visit and talk and see how everybody's doing. So you can kind of play with your mute button, you know, keeping, if you want to ask a question, you press 4-star, and we'll just see. Right now the line sounds really clear, so I think we'll be good to go. Kat, is there somebody named Kat on the call right now? 303 area code?
Pat.
Pat, okay. How did it turn into Kat?
I don't know.
That's what it says on there. K-A-T. I don't know. Computers, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, how are you, Pat?
Okay, I could get on today.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes these things, it's such modern new technology. That's part of using it in a relaxed way is that sometimes stuff just doesn't work. Like my printer wouldn't work the other day, and, you know, Margaret wanted me to print something for her, and, you know, I wanted to print it for her right away, and she didn't get it for 2 or 3 days, I think, because I just, you know, the printer acted so weird that, and it usually prints just great, and I was just like, you know, something's really going on there, and I'm just going to let it work itself out. And then I turned it back on a few days later and printed, and everything's fine.
Yep.
Now Margaret is allowed to print on my printer. Like, I think one time this person who was a high-tech computer guy, he explained it, and he called it, well, back then it was a certain type of technology we were dealing with called SCSI, like Small Computer System Interface or something, SCSI they called it for short. And he was just saying, you know, sometimes when they go and repair these things, it's, you know, a very technical process, and you know, you do this, or you do that, and it leads to such and such a solution, and it's very linear. But he said there's also, it's very often they repair them by what he calls SCSI voodoo.
SCSI voodoo.
You know, with technology, sometimes it's better to take an intuitive approach or relate to it like it's a living being or something, and it just has a mood. You need to wait till it passes or something. As long as the systems are working generally, you know, functioning smoothly, and I found this teleconference system to have its hiccups from time to time. I haven't even been able to get on once, or sometimes I can't make the recording, and of course there's backups. We do have the teleseminar recordings. I usually have a double recording going on. Like right now, this is being recorded in two different ways. And then when we post the teleseminars, it's not only posted in the blog, but we also post it on the page that has the, well, hold on one sec.
When you're typing, it kind of distracts. You could go in the other room with your computer.
I was just clearing something up here. So there's sometimes the teleseminars, you know, get recorded. I mean, every time it's worked out, they've been recorded just fine on the main system, which has a little bit of a better sound. But I think that partly happens because there's a backup in place, and the computers know that they can't mess around with us as easily. I like to think of it like that sometimes, like I'm playing with the computers and the technology, and they have their own personality, and that's maybe not literally true, but it's kind of a metaphorical way of dealing with it. Who's calling from 716 area code?
That's me, Ray.
Ray, okay. I got to put your name in there. All right. Well, let's see. Maggie, hi. You're on mute. Nice to have you with us. And Mark, is that you?
Yep. Yeah.
Mark, yeah, the futures trader. All right, so we have Camille, Maggie, I think. You're there, Maggie. And Mark and Pat and Ray.
Yes, George, it is Maggie. I was muted. Hello.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Good.
And who's calling from, 472, that's Tracy, right? And Tracy's on mute right now, so I'm going to type your name in there. Because today I want to manage us to have some conversation amongst ourselves if we can. And so I'm setting up the software right now to do that. And I think, so we know who's there. And I'd like to start off now by saying that this is our million, have you manifested $1 million yet, teleseminar series talk number 4, that the way that I've been intending and proceeding with transmitting these materials, this information, for the purpose of helping you to really amplify and increase the results that you're getting, not just by amplifying them, but by enhancing them in the sense that those collective thought forms that we're showing you how to introduce into your manifesting scripts, and not only showing you how to introduce them, but introducing you to the collective thought forms in a new way. Everyone, of course, has experience with collective thought forms, whatever name you call them by. We're using that name to talk about things that are, well, thoughts are things, it has been said. It has been said that thoughts are things, and so we are looking at collective thought forms as things that we can use to connect as if we were wiring them and plugging them in to our thought forms that we make, each one of us, in our personal manifesting scripts using Life Transformation System Z or any other process or procedure in which you actually physically write down your goals and dreams, or even hold your thought forms in your mind in some meditation style or way. And last week we worked with defining perhaps how far you can go with reaching out there. Some of these collective thought forms are huge and so prevalent and so common that you may not, or people listening to this recording may not have actually thought that, you know, oh, destiny, that's a collective thought form, or conquering death and old age. Sometimes there are phrases like that, but it's like a phrase that you've heard before. You know, there's a lot of phrases and collective thought forms about relationships and, you know, what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And if you can have the ability to contain those thoughts, meaning to sort of step back a little bit when your mother or your father or your parents or your teachers or your friends or your husband or your lover or people in your life or the television or a movie that you're watching, and you can recognize that this isn't thought form, isn't some new script that somebody just creatively came up with, but it's just something you've heard before almost exactly in those words. How many times have you heard about the idea when you're on the job in a corporate environment, in an office environment, or any kind of a job, and there's a collective thought form that it's not usually, generally speaking, a good idea to have romantic relationships with somebody who you work with in that type of environment? And, you know, that's a collective thought form. And by doing this teleseminar series, what we're helping you to do, our intention is to help you not only to simply understand that you can connect the collective thought forms. Hi, Victoria. Connect the collective thought forms to your manifesting script and have tremendous, almost instantaneous and ongoing enhancement and amplification and improvement and refinement and condensing and concising down of your manifesting scripts and therefore a better quality reality that manifests, but also just knowing what these collective thought forms are and how to manage them and deal with them in your mind is extremely self-defensive. It protects you from, as we have this subliminal audio that most of you have been exposed to or exposed yourself to, 001, you know, which stops unwanted subliminal messages. It actually has a program in it, just some spoken words that are being spoken subliminally as you listen to this audio. And if you need to or want to go back and listen to it again and you don't have the subliminal audio library bookmarked, you can get 001 at the subliminal audio page on any of my websites. Leads you there. The menu leads you to the subliminal audio page, and 001 is freely available for anyone to download. Or you can email me. But 001 helps you to block unwanted subliminal messages. And what we're doing in this advanced module, part of what we're doing is making a consciousness and an awareness about collective thoughts, which is a huge self-defense against unwanted collective thoughts. You know, sometimes just one of those collective thought forms can be devastating in terms of changing the direction of your life, changing your future. It might be so strong, so forceful, and so powerful that you make a decision about how you're going to live your life in the future based on something that somebody tells you because you love them or you trust them or they're your teacher or they're your, you know, someone. And it's and if you can recognize that it's a collective thought form, then you might see a kind of a glassy stare in their eyes when they're saying it to you. You might think twice about living your life based on someone just passing along a phrase that contains an energy that that person may not even consciously be really fully awake about, and yet they're giving you advice about your life. And of course, this happens not only personally, but through all forms of media, and it happens subliminally, and this is one of the great benefits of taking this advanced module, is a positive, fun, playful awareness of these sometimes very much the opposite of what I just said in terms of qualities, these which could be devastating, damaging, destructive, violent thought forms that will just have their way with you because they're that powerful. And they get disseminated or distributed or into your ears and into your brain and into your subconscious just so effortlessly. And so we want that kind of force and that kind of power in to be something that we're more capable of manipulating in a positive sense of manipulation, meaning manipulation is a collective thought form. You know, I felt so manipulated by my husband in my ex-husband in our previous relationship, you know, or that woman is, you know, she's really manipulating him. What does it mean? Manipulation is speaking about the word M-A-N, which is connected to manual, like manual labor or a manual transmission in a car. It means getting your hands on it. Like that's another collective thought form is hands-on. You know, like I'm a hands-on type of guy, or some people will, you know, roll up your sleeves and get your hands on type of thing. However you use these things, but manipulating really just means using your hands. But in, I don't know when it started, probably recently in our modern world, because the way we talk about it, manipulation now, it's kind of a psychological term, and psychology only started about 100 years ago. There wasn't psychology before about 100 years ago. It just didn't exist. It's a new science or discipline or whatever you want to call it. And so manipulation, in most of the time when people use it, it means nowadays, what do they call that? You know, like screwing someone over, or like messing with their mind, or controlling them maliciously. And so when I talk about the collective thought form of manipulation, like I've just been doing for a little bit of time, I'm bringing in a consciousness and awareness, and next time that comes up in your conversation or you feel like you're manipulating somebody or you're afraid that somebody's manipulating you, you can kind of shake yourself loose from the recent vibration and consciousness of that being something bad. In my normal conversation with people, I will often talk about controlling them and them controlling me and having control over each other. And a lot of that freedom that I have to control my life and be consciously controlled by others in a way that I would like to be is very pleasurable and enjoyable and healthy to have, you know, hands-on in your own life. That's what we want, to create your own reality, control your future. This type of manipulation of our mind and our thoughts and so on is something that we're desiring to have. We want to manipulate our lives in a certain kind of a metaphoric sense where we're not even putting our hands on anything. We're working with our thoughts, and yet when you type in your computer in your life transformation journal, you're manipulating your computer, you're manipulating your thoughts, you're manipulating and controlling your future by the words that you're carving out into the page. And when you're just sitting on a bus or in your car and you're saying, in the universe, in my own universe, you're controlling your thoughts, you're manipulating yourself. So this, for example, all around one word, one collective thought form, manipulation. Isn't it amazing what you can do with these collective thought forms, how much freedom you can get? And so this is another thing that we've been doing here, besides just going like, hey, collective thought forms are something you can plug into your manifesting scripts, having consciousness about manipulating collective thought forms is a fabulous, wonderful skill to have, and who's going to tell you about that, you know? You have to sign up for my program and be in the advanced module or listen to this recording. You know, who talks about this kind of stuff? This is creative, innovative, cutting-edge manipulation technology, how to control your thoughts. This is the hardest thing to do, is controlling your thoughts. And yet, here we are discussing very precise, very exact methods for controlling your thoughts. And one of the ways that we make it easy is by breaking it down one piece at a time. And sometimes we like those pieces to be really powerful, so you can take what I'm telling you about manipulation, which is a broad topic, which is so charged with collective thought energy, that as soon as you start thinking about manipulation, you could... Oh, hello, whoever just came on, you need to mute yourself. Thank you. I have to, okay, here we are. So we're talking about this thought form of manipulation and how that relates to thought control. And it's very important and positive to have that thought control. And yet what I'm saying is that if you actually tried to work with the word manipulation on your own, because we have a group energy here. There's not only the people on the call today, but the people who are connected, who are going to listen to the recording later, who are in the program, and probably not only my guides and the archangels that I invoke and ask for, and the presence of God, Goddess, all that is, and but the people who are participating, you, and have perhaps almost certainly, I know people have their own guides that they invoke before they participate here, and so there's a lot of force balancing and creating an energy field that makes it possible for us to bring up these kind of subjects like manipulation or other collective thought forms that we've been working with here, or the concept in general of collective thought forms in relationship to personal empowerment through manifesting with thought power in our scripts of our goals and dreams that we write or think about or speak about. This type of energy around, for example, manipulation, if you or I just looked at that on our own by ourselves, it could be overwhelming, it could be disturbing, because the energy around it can can be, you know, these thought forms have a lot of energy around them, and it can be difficult, impossible even, to feel comfortable and kind of make up your own way of relating to it. Like I said before, thoughts are things. So manipulation is a word, but it's a thought form, and that thought form is a thing. And we're all together now having a relationship to that particular thing, which is called the thought form of manipulation. In fact, we've done that now for whatever, 10 minutes or something, and that having that relationship is the same as if we went into Jurassic Park and had a relationship with a dinosaur. It's an adventure in consciousness that we're having here about the collective thought forms. I'd like to know if anybody has anything that you can share about how it's been going for you, if your manifesting has changed, or you've had, if you have any thoughts or comments or questions. Here we are in week 4, and the energy is distinctive. I feel it, and I've heard from some other people in the program. There's nothing that we've ever done before that feels like this. Certainly, the energy is contributing to spectacular manifestations for some of the people that are participating that I've heard from. And as is my policy with helping people with their manifestations, I'm very private about it. And so I expect there are a lot of things happening for people that I don't know about. And that is, of course, as it should be. But I do want to make the time and the space here before we, you know, go on to the further weeks. Next week, week 5 on March 29th, I'm not sure which week that is, we've got another scheduled guest who's the author of a book called Soul Medicine. And it should be really take us to a deeper place to spend time with Eric Rolf. No guarantees on any of my guests actually being able to get on the call and us actually being able to pull it off. But even if that, if, you know, he couldn't for some reason, we'd probably have a private discussion between the two of us and record it. So I think you can look forward to spending some time with Eric Rolf and myself, you know, going further with the collective thoughts and your manifesting and helping with your manifesting with somebody who understands how to work with the body in terms of any form of healing through just connecting to your soul. Very similar to what we do here because we're working with the thoughts. So I was thinking that today we ought to just relax a little bit as a group and give some space for the intense things that we've been introducing about collective thoughts and the intense boost to your manifesting that should be happening by now. At least whether the results are showing up or whether your whole world in your own universe is being shaken up or changed or transformed by these particular words or phrases that you're writing in there, if you've gotten around to that yet, which some people may not have, and that's fine because it takes time to digest what you're listening to. You may still have not even listened to all the recordings yet. I post things on the blogs that are designed to also help you to integrate and take in this information for it to find its way into action where you do something about it, and that something that you do about it then causes the changes that you're looking for, the reason why you enrolled in the first place. So it is a kind of a process and a chain reaction and something that happens for each person in their own time. For some people, you may not really incorporate everything that we've talked about and shared here until months afterwards, after the whole 12 weeks are done. So whatever your timing is, I know, though, that some people are working with this stuff and probably adding things into your scripts already. And I don't know if it's too soon to ask, but maybe somebody has a question or a comment or something. And so just unmute yourself and say your name, and I'm going to leave a little opening now for someone to say hi, and maybe we can...
George?
Hi.
This is Camille.
Hi, Camille.
I had a nice synchronistic experience with the work, because when you first mentioned a collective thought forms, I had resistance come up to it. You know, my head was saying mass consciousness, and so much of that is based on greed or, oh, I don't know, other negative, you know, motivations. And I just put it aside for a while and did my scripts as you first explained to us with the clear talk in the universe and in my universe. And I began thinking, you know, what was my motivation for those things I desired to manifest in my universe. And I had learned, of course, the phrase, the highest good for all concerned, which is one of my favorite now becoming collective thought forms. And so I use that a lot. And
good
just
point.
A couple. Yeah, that one always feels good to affirm that, you know, whether I understand my motivation yet or not, my desire is for the highest good of all concerned. And then, synchronistically, a couple of weeks ago, I began working with Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth. And the clarity that I gained there in understanding the difference between when my greedy little ego was the voice in my head, or when my higher self order of being was expressing itself, really did remarkable things for my scripts. And so I've been seeing wonderful evidence of how it's working behind the scenes in my life, how the clear talk and the daily scripts are, and the win list are working. And it's just the most uplifting experience I think I've had in years. And so I have you to thank for that.
You're welcome. I'm really learning a lot from what you're saying now, and I'm glad that we opened up the space for you know, you people to speak, because I've been actually in my own personal scripts. It's been in my head, but I haven't actually written it down, what you're saying, like, for my highest good. You know, these are collective thought forms. And like you said, you mentioned your reaction or resistance or relationship to, you know, collective thought forms in general, which of course is appropriate, because this is part of the filtering process that immediately kicks in when we think about a collective thought form. It's like the body assimilating something. It's not our own, and so we have to decide whether we can take it in or how we filter it and so on. And this phrase, like, for my highest good, someone might go, well, you know, I like that, but I like to say it like, you know, this, or, you know,
yeah.
It's a filtering process. Or there's a phrase that people use, with harm to none. Now, my understanding is that comes out of, you know, Wicca or magic, formerly pagan something. And so people might kind of go, well, yeah, I like the idea of that, but it doesn't quite feel right because I don't want to be associated with that type of thing. Now, when we know that something is a collective thought form, which you're kind of actually sharing, is I am now had a an experience listening to you just now where something changed inside of me, and I went, oh, for my highest good, with harm to none, in harmony with my most positive future, all these things that I've heard or learned or picked up from somewhere else that are not my own.
Yeah.
I can just start sprinkling them into my manifesting scripts that I have written in my personal electronic workbook, and with the consciousness that they're collective thought forms, and I'm putting them in there in that spirit, not because it's something that I totally believe in or don't believe in, but I basically feel good about it, adding and improving and enhancing my personal scripts. So
yeah.
I'm going to do that. I don't think I have anywhere written down right in my scripts. I kind of package and wrap all my manifesting in those intentions, but putting them directly in my script, and maybe even looking for, I mean, I have something in my money area, like all my finances are protected by the power of Jesus Christ or something, that I learned a phrase like that in the Pentecostal church when I was hanging out with them for 11 months in Hawaii. But other than that, I don't think I have any of those phrases in my personal manifesting, and you just inspired me to feel comfortable putting, like, for my highest good.
Well, I really say for the highest good of all concerned, because I feel like very often we don't understand how our action touches other people, you know, and we don't really, I think, have in mind the kind of ripple effect I've heard you mention that it has as our action or our desire moves out and whose life it might touch and alter. And so by saying for the highest good of all concerned, we cover the bases, so to speak.
Yeah, for the highest good of all concerned.
Uh-huh.
That's quite a bit different than for my highest good.
Yeah.
I like to also say, I learned this from Lazarus, and, well, I don't know if he exactly, but he talks about that we have many possible futures. My current belief is that when we write down our goals and dreams, what we're doing is we're not so much creating our own reality as we're tuning into some kind of a future that we imagine is best for ourselves. And it's really like there already for us, calling us, pulling us, leading us, inspiring us, and we're making the time to write down our goals and dreams. I currently believe that it's more along the lines of us tuning into some kind of a future. Now, if somebody wrote down, you know, their diabolical desire to, you know, what is that thing in the movies all the time that the bad guy wants to do, like control the world, you know, and or destroy the world or something like that, take over the world, then, you know, that person would be using the exact same technology as we are, but using it for an ill intent, you know, not for the highest good of all concern, which they wouldn't be saying that kind of a phrase, because if they did, it would neutralize their ill intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's important to understand that we're dealing with the same technology that can be used by good or used for evil, which are two collective thought forms, good and evil, which is going to be the subject of next week's teleseminar series. Number 5 is going to be all about the collective thought form of the word yes. And that's going to lead us into a side discussion about good and evil. So that's a little preview for next week. But right now, I mention that because it does set... I do believe that what we're mostly doing, and I mentioned Lazarus inspired me to know that I have many futures in front of me, and I prefer to be in harmony with my most positive future self, my most positive future life. And so I also put that in my manifesting scripts, you know, not only for my highest good, but for in harmony with my most positive future self. Or if I'm having a relationship with somebody, like a business partnership or a romantic relationship, I'll say of our most positive future together. I know Victoria and I have been working on publishing the Life Transformation Formula ebook on Amazon.com, and she's been primarily working on that project, and I asked her if she would like to do that, and I'm sure at some point along the way there was an email about in harmony with our most positive future on this particular path of publishing this ebook. So that's another one another variation, but wow, thank you, Camille.
You're very welcome.
Is there anyone else that would like to join in and speak or offer or suggest or share?
Good morning.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi, everybody. How are we?
Most everybody's on mute, so you'll have to get their telepathic response to that.
Just talking about new authors and reading books, I dug up a little book, a little wee thin book by an author, Florence Scovel Shinn, and I'm not sure if anyone's read it. Have you heard of the book, George?
Yes, it's S-C-H-I-N-N. It's with Florence, and then Chauvel is S-C-H-O-V-E-L-L, Florence Scovel Shinn, yeah. It's your older book.
I've got two of them. I've got The Secret Door to Success, and just talking about things that you're saying, and another one is The Game of Life and How to Play It, and just some of the things that she wrote I've been incorporating into my daily things, you know. And one was Infinite Spirit, Open the Way for Great Abundance for Victoria Laurel Hickman. I'm an irresistible magnet for all that comes to me by divine right. And just how that's got infinite spirit in it and divine right. And that, I mean, her writings are old. Were they 100 years ago? I think they were, weren't they?
I'm not sure. I just know that she's not, like, contemporary. It might be 10 years ago, for all I know.
No, very old writings. And there is another one, which was just The Unexpected Happens, My Seemingly Impossible Good Now Comes to Pass. And so I've just been...
Oh, I love that. My Seemingly Impossible Good Now Comes to Pass?
Yes.
Oh,
The Unexpected Happens. My Seemingly Impossible Good Now Comes to Pass. And that's kind of like when you take a big sigh or you go, aha, and it just lifts me for the day. So I've been saying that every morning as well. And every time I open my workbook, and I've plastered it on my wall, so...
So here we are, you know, Victoria, giving a perfect example of collective thought forms and how they can be really attractive and scary at the same time. Because, you know, when you said the part about the unexpected happens, I was like, well, I don't think I want that, you know. Like, I need to qualify that, you know, my unexpected positive. Well, what was it all together in one phrase?
Yes, it's like in speech marks, the unexpected happens, and then there's a big exclamation mark, and then it's my seemingly impossible good now comes to pass.
Okay, I'm writing this down. My seemingly impossible good now comes to pass. So I'm giving an example right now in my relationship with Victoria about, like, filtering a collective thought on the fly. There was something about the unexpected part that I really like, but my whole entire system is telling me that I just can't right now bring that in. But my seemingly impossible good now comes to pass is actually very similar to my favorite quotation, probably top 10 favorite, if not my top favorite, about manifesting, which is from Alice in Wonderland. You know, that one about where Alice is talking to one of the queens and saying, you know, that's impossible. And the queen says, you know, why nonsense, my dear. I imagine 6 impossible things before breakfast. My seemingly impossible good now comes to pass. I wholly and completely feel a sense of resonating with that. Like, I can take that in. But the unexpected part with the explanation mark, I didn't write that down. So I now have this on a piece of paper, and it's probably going to make its way into my life transformation workbook, into my personal goals and dreams. And I, you know, got it from Victoria, who is somebody who's been highly qualified to be in my reality. And so you see how it works? We're filtering the collective thought forms. I'm doing it with a consciousness, and it's very different than if I was, say, in a workshop or a group and people were, like, forcing me to think a certain way or, you know, write a certain way or this is how you're supposed to do it. Or so hopefully that... We're getting now more comfortable, and we're showing how it's a procedure to determine whether or not you would like a collective thought form to come in, and you don't have to take it in whole. You can take it in part. You can break it down. You can switch it around. You can rearrange it, and it will still more than likely have some, if not all, of the energy of the original collective thought form. However, I would advise caution in changing them too much. Changing the wording or rearranging them, because you may diffuse their full power by doing that.
George, I have one other daily intention that I got off a friend that I've spoken to you about before, Kelly Canole, and I was on a conference call with her, and she just did a daily intention prayer, which I had to stick on my wall, and I actually tacked it on to the end of that last one that I said to you, and sorry, I tacked it on to the beginning of it. And hers was, today I'm aligning with the guidance of my soul on a deeper level than ever before. And then I added on to that, and now my seemingly impossible good now comes to pass. Because even though the unexpected happens as the beginning of that, sometimes I put it on and sometimes I don't. It kind of depends on my mood on that day.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It's like what you were just saying. So.
Great. And then in addition to what we're kind of sketching out here by a real example of how Victoria's working with the collective thought and my, you know, hearing it transmitted to me and then deciding to write it on a notepad, and I'm still, that's all I'm taking. I'm just taking my seemingly impossible good now comes to pass, and I've got walls up against the rest of it. And, you know, I'm literally filtering and blocking and doing that consciously in harmony with my subconscious. It's just going, you know, only take that part. Whatever else she's talking about, don't listen to her. You know, that's her universe. That's what she does. That's nice, Victoria. You know, and I'm filtering and taking in some but cutting out the rest. And like cutting a photograph out of a magazine. And you just cut out the part you like and paste
and
that in your...
Sorry, yeah. And again, like you're saying, that's good with that 001 subliminal audio.
Yes.
Listening to that too.
Oh yeah, it's like, that. What I'm doing right now with.
Calls.
Yes, what I'm doing right now with my subconscious is the influence I feel from my repeated listening and re-listening from time to time to 001. It just becomes automatic that I feel comfortable and relaxed. Filtering, and I'm telling you, a lot of times the collective thought forms will come in from a place that's very close to you, like a personal relationship or somebody that you know or somebody that you trust. They will, you know, bring it in, and it can be very disturbing because you think you should swallow it whole, and something in you is telling you you don't want to, and there's a lot of force behind these collective thought forms, and this very force is what we are liking to bring into our manifesting to give it that force. But the filtering is very important so that you feel comfortable. And this is part of why we're making a whole 12-week teleseminar series about the procedure and the operation and the, you know, how to and what not to and so on about working with these collective thought forms. Thank you, Victoria, and thank you for being you.
Thank you, George.
Is there anyone else? Thank you, by the way, to everybody for being so conscientious about using the mute button. It seems pretty quiet on the line, and that makes all the difference in the world. It really is we're dancing on the head of a pin here, having people calling all into one phone line, you know, multiple people from multiple countries with all different kinds of phones and technologies, and I think it's amazing that we're even able to do this. It's spectacular.
George, this is Maggie, and I have
Maggie.
Something to share.
Hi.
Hi. Mine has to do with the word absolute or absolutely. I've just recently learned that when you use the word absolute or absolutely, you are actually invoking the absolute. So in other words, if you were to say something like, my seemingly impossible goal now absolutely comes to pass, you would be adding a great deal more power to it.
Oh, I love that. Now, I'm writing that down. Now, absolutely. And of course, this word is used repeatedly in the invocative affirmation that...
Right.
Is available. But also what's happening for me by you saying that, and let me write this down, my seemingly impossible good now, and you use the word goal, which is another way of doing it, my seemingly impossible goal now absolutely comes to pass. And again, let me remind everybody who's listening that we're forming something here with Victoria now, with Maggie and myself, that is a collective thought form. We're shaping and crafting and working with a collective thought form here. And, you know, this is kind of a fun thing that you can do, but we're making a very powerful phrase that people can use in whole or in part. My seemingly impossible good, as Victoria said, or goal, as Maggie said, now absolutely comes to pass. And I had said, be careful about, you know, breaking down a collective thought form, but when it, you know, and because you might diffuse the power, but when it comes to what Maggie and I are doing right now, making, like, adding two together, like we did a little while ago, we used 100% and my dreams come true, and we put those together, 100% of all my dreams come true. That is highly advisable, to stitch them together and weave them together into a larger thought form or a larger tapestry, so to speak, of thought. My seemingly impossible good now absolutely comes to pass is stitching the absolutely collective thought form together with what Victoria was sharing with us from a book that she had read. You know, Maggie, it's making me think about something that is going to be introduced more fully in the 10th teleseminar of the Million Dollar Series, which I'm going to kind of bring in a whole thing about how to expand our personal thoughts and use collective thoughts like further and farther than we ever have before. And what I'm going to do is talk about the man who conveyed or channeled the first five chapters of the Life Transformation Formula ebook many, many years ago, who I worked with for many years, and who personally told me and channeled to me all sorts of things that very few people on the planet Earth have ever heard, although a handful of people, he did spend a lot of time, you know, personally, verbally transmitting things that were never written down. That I'm going to share some of that in the 10th teleseminar series and provide an additional second recording in addition to what we talk about in the 10th teleseminar of this program. I'm planning to, anyways, to post a radio show that he did many years ago, that he did a series of, I think, 10 radio shows, and the 10th one was the one that he felt was the best. It's never been published before, and we're going to publish it and make that available only to the people in this advanced module. And one of the things that he told me verbally that I don't think he ever wrote down or is this, for example, you can take words like the word absolutely, and it has the word abs in it. You know, ABS. And that's something that he would do something like this. First of all, when it comes to cars or automobiles, there's, I think, something called like an ABS that has to do with the braking system. Now, I'm not absolutely sure about this. It might be something else. But he would go like, you know, I could look on the internet and look up ABS, braking system, and then I'd find out, you know, oh, it's a really good braking system, or it's a particular type of braking system. And then he would look at the word absolutely and somehow know that it was associated with putting on the brakes or high-quality brakes or something like that, or, you know, getting a lucky break, you know, brakes. And then he would look at the fact that it had the word ABS spelled abs, which is for a lot of men and women these days something that we're interested in, having great abs. He would do stuff like that, and it would just creatively open all kinds of new possibilities when you're using language. He would always, like, break things down. Like, if it sounded like another word, then it was also that other word, and in terms of the subconscious and how the subconscious is receiving it and relating to it. That's just something that when you said that word, absolutely, it made me think about that.
Yeah, that's interesting, but the word absolute actually does invoke the power that of that underlying force, the absolute.
Yes, the absolute.
Yes, so I just want to make that clear.
Thank you.
With the ABS braking, that's like controlled braking, because we nearly had an accident the other day in our car. Has ABS braking, so if you slam on your brakes in a normal car, you'll lose control of it, whereas this is when you slam on your brakes, the car doesn't fishtail out of control, and so you have a lot more control when you're braking.
Okay, so see, now we're going along here with this, and I would say now, and of course I'm saying this is all collective thoughts, because I heard a lot of stories from this man, and, you know, I didn't believe them or not believe them. You know, I liked them, I didn't like them, I agreed, I didn't agree. They're collective thoughts, so I had to filter them. But I like playing with words like this. There was a certain, and I'm going to keep going here with this, because Victoria is helping to keep it going. And if you look at the absolute, which I consider the absolute to be, well, Maggie said it the best, the absolute is the absolute. That if they're participating in your manifesting or my manifesting, and manifesting, as we said before, has something to do with manipulating and controlling, and breaking is kind of like controlling your speed or controlling, keeping you safe, putting on the brakes. We've talked about safety a lot. Sometimes putting on the brakes, you know, you might think that's a negative thing. I just want to go full speed ahead. We've also talked about high performance vehicle. In this manifesting, the Clear Talk manifesting method is a high-speed method. It's a high-performance vehicle. Your mind, you're working with thought power. It's like, you know, working with high-performance equipment. And it's important to have controls. It's important to have brakes and to be able to put the brakes down, and then having a sophisticated braking system. So what if the most sophisticated braking system of all, the control system, is having the, including the absolute in everything that you manifest for my highest good, or in harmony with my highest good and all concerned? And this is the intent of the invocative affirmation, to invoke the presence of the absolute so that we can put the brakes on any, you know, stupid thing that we try and manifest that we didn't realize we were going to maybe head off a cliff with that particular manifestation. And so invoking the absolute is like having ABS brakes. That's how he would have done it. You know, he would tell stories like that and get me persuaded, you know, that that was totally, absolutely true. You know, and it was fun. It was really a fun, deeper way of working with the words that are out there. All the words are really in collective thought forms, because none of us made any of them up. How about that? Just thinking in that sense, that every single word is a collective thought form. Of course, it's usually the way that we string the words together, and not only that, the collective thought forms are not the words. The collective thought forms are represented by words or held by words. It's the thought form behind the words. We spoke about having all your dreams come true. We spoke about when you wish upon a star. And of course, those words are words, but for a lot of people around the world who associate that with Walt Disney, you see, it's the energy behind it. It's the memory of the last time you visited Disneyland, or, you know, all that kind of stuff connects. It's behind the words or connected to the words, and that's what we mean really when we're talking about collective thought forms.
George, your invocative
Hi, Camille.
Your invocative affirmation has absolute in it at least 6 times.
Yeah, it's a good word.
And I noticed that the word soul is in it also. It's S-O-L-U in the center, but it's still S-O-U-L.
Oh, the word S-O-U-L in absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's it. So you can keep breaking it down like this and working with them. And so again, you know, why are we talking about this? Why are we trying to drive everybody crazy here and make it overwhelming? No, we're just opening doors to Pandora's box, but not that Pandora's box. Again, another collective thought form, Pandora's box. You know, it could be a world of, you know, new things that is this Pandora's box of learning how to work with collective thought forms. Collective thought forms are kind of like Pandora's box. It is potentially dangerous, in a sense that someone on earlier spoke about, you know, having caution about all of this. We spoke about it many times in the pre-launch, being careful about not what you ask for, but about working with these collective thought forms, because you're dealing with a lot of power here, and you want to have a good braking system, a good filtering system. Is there anyone, anyone else, or anyone that would...
Actually, George, I have a question.
Yes.
I wanted to ask Victoria if she would repeat the phrase that begins with "Today I'm aligning with."
It's gonna take her a moment. She has to come off.
Hi, mute. Is that Maggie?
Yes.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
It was. Today I'm aligning with the guidance of my soul.
Okay.
On a deeper level than ever before.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. There's about, we have 5-6 minutes left in our scheduled time together today. I hope that everyone's been enjoying a relaxed pace today, a different energy. I think it's important that we change the mood, and I've given you some idea of what's coming up in 3 of the next teleseminars. Week 5, which is the next one, next Saturday, same time, is our intention. We're planning to completely focus the entire time on the technology of using the collective thought form of the word yes, and we're going to get into a side discussion about the collective thought form good and the collective thought form evil, which is fairly necessary, I think you will agree and see, as we discuss using the word yes in your life to create a positive experience more than perhaps you've ever had before, and showing you how to use, I don't know how to say it, that. Does anybody know how to say that Hawaiian thing, ho'oponopono?
Ho'oponopono, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But at least we've given some indication about what we're talking about. And that we're going to show you something that we developed, that I developed together with Margaret in the last few weeks, about using the word yes. And when we started I've heard this before, some yoga people that I admire started to show it to me many years ago. Just say yes to everything. It was the sort of technology that we were working with them, that they were teaching me. And there were some things that have some flaws to that were pretty nasty, that although it was a good idea, there's some, you know, horrible things that I saw them doing and manipulating other people by getting them to say yes to everything. And it's really important to be able to say no, but there is some kind of a vibrational charge around the collective thought form of no. And so what Margaret and I designed was a way to use whatever it's called, and yes and no, and we're going to show you that next week. And we'll have to talk about good and evil, almost for sure, in order to make that fly. That's week 5, and I'm not sure which week it is, March 29th. It might be week 7. We're going to have Eric Rolfe, who's written a book called Soul Medicine, who works with water and gemstones, and he's a good man. I don't know him that well, but I think that of all the people that could have been guests on the show and participated, he is one of the few people that I felt would be the right match, and I think we're going to have a good time, and we're going to probably talk about the relationship of the soul to the manifesting with collective thought forms. In week 10, I've already spoken about that quite a bit, but I'm going to have a special guest, hopefully, I think. She's an actress. I used to date her back at the time when I knew the man who wrote the channel, the first 5 chapters of the book. And I haven't really talked to her or had much to do with her since then. I got back in touch with her and asked her if she'd be willing to be a guest. And she said that she would, so we'll see if that actually happens. But, you know, she knew him, and she knew me back then, and I think it's going to be, she'll kind of put contrast and add a different voice, a different perspective, and a different angle to, you know, who was that man, and what was he talking about, and where was he coming from, as we look at that in week 10. And I know also that Devika Eifert, who's also My mother is still working with the negative thoughts in relationship to all of this. She's working on her own audio program about that, and she may appear at least for part of one of our teleseminars as a guest. I'm not sure. So these are some things to think about and look forward to. And if unless there's anything quick, like for a minute or two right now, we're going to close it up for today. Anyone? Anything? All right.
Just that when you start the call, you normally say something lovely. Do you say something lovely at the end or just say goodbye? I can't remember. I haven't been on for a couple of weeks.
Well, what could I say that would be lovely today? What about you? Do you have anything lovely to say? How about if you end the call for us?
I'm just really enjoying the energy of being on the calls, and I have really missed them, so it's good that I caught this call today. So thank you, George.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming on the call. Thank you to everyone, and I would like to thank the All That Is, whatever you call them, God, Goddess, All That Is. I believe and feel that they are participating with all of us because we've asked them to. The invocative affirmation, for example, is clearly invoking and inviting. Many people who are involved with this program have read that, used that, still use it today, as do I. I feel like I personally don't even really create my own reality, but I have a relationship with the All That Is, and they create my reality for me, or co-create it, some people like to say. And I just want to acknowledge their presence, their friendly presence, their always loving, kind, wonderful, real friendship in every step of the way of this journey of being alive on planet Earth, and this journey of manifesting and using our thoughts and becoming more and more conscious of our most positive future self. I would like to thank them, and also especially to thank everyone for participating. Perhaps we can say safely that each individual person who's listening to these recordings, who comes on the call, everything that you're doing in your personal life in relationship to have you manifested $1 million yet, the teleseminar series, your gift to everyone is being received with love and gratitude. And also my expectation and intention is that as each person is giving of themselves by being themselves, by relating to this program, that you're receiving back from the group and from the universe, from the All That Is, many times multiplied what you're giving in. And with that, with peace and with love, we're finished for today. This is
Thank
George
you.
L. Presley. You're welcome.
Much love.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye.